chapter of Whose Crisis, Whose Future is about solutions, because I really believe that we have all of the knowledge, all of the techniques, all of the ideas that we need to transform the world and get rid of all of these things, to take out the links that hold these world crises together. And that means getting the banks under control. It means overhauling the financial system. And that's why I use the metaphor, which I put in the introduction, of how the world is organized today in concentric circles, where finance is the most important, and finance is guiding everything else, including the real economy, which is the second circle, but now much downgraded compared to finance, where in finance you can make profits four or five times as great as in the real economy, where real people work. And then society, which is constrained by both finance and the economy. And finally, the environment, which is nothing but a place to grab your resources and throw away your wastes. And what I am arguing is that the job of citizens today, because governments are not going to do it if we don't push, is to transform, to turn that metaphor inside out and make the planet the defining factor, which it is in reality, because we can't fight against the laws of physics. You always lose if you try to fight against natural laws, biological or physical. And then society, within those constraints of the environment, should be able to organize as it sees fit, democratically, but it would be quite different in different places. And then the economy is the way that society chooses to satisfy its needs. And finally, finance would be nothing but a tool, among other tools. And that's where I think we've gone wrong, allowing that the order today, finance, economy, society, and society including the state and the environment, is absolutely the wrong direction. And it is going to lead us to new crises and to the brink. And because the G20 and the G8 seem blind, deaf, and not dumb, unfortunately, but blind and deaf, it seems to me that this task falls to citizens. Who else is going to do it? So that's why I also recommend that the only way to go forward is to start talking to people you've never talked to before. Make alliances. In Copenhagen, in the climate talks, the only good thing I can see that came out of that was that now the social movements and the ecological movements know that they are facing the same adversaries. And that is good, because now they work together as a matter of course. And that was, for me, a good step forward. But we need to make much better links between small farmers, trade unionists, ecologists, women who are acting for women's rights, and I think now small and medium-sized businesses. Nobody seems to have tried this yet. I don't know if it's doable, but those businesses are suffering because the banks aren't lending to them and they're starved for credit, not because they're badly managed, but because they simply are being cut off. And so there's a great many forces in the society, and the only people who profit from the status quo are this tiny fringe that I call the Davos class, the people who go and meet in Switzerland every January to see what they're going to do next. And they're the only ones that really get something out of the way society is organized today. And everybody else is suffering to a greater or a lesser degree. The poor, of course, more than the middle class, but the middle class is not doing all that well. And now we're being told we have to contribute a second time through austerity programs because the state borrowed and they expanded and they created greater deficits in order to save the banks. So now it's up to the citizens once more to pay and get absolutely nothing in return, paying through cuts in salaries, cuts in public services, with austerity in various government departments which are indispensable, like education, housing, health care, and so on. It's not up to citizens to do this. And the world is awash in money, and I explain where that money is and how to go after it, because we know where it is, and we know what to do, except there isn't the political stamina to do it. And the governments, it's almost as if you vote for a government and then they hand over the important things to the banking sector, you know. I mean, why not just vote directly for the bankers? It would be quicker and easier and more honest. You know, there's a lot wrong with the world, but I do have faith because I'm old enough to have this sort of long historical view. I see that it takes a long time to change things. I've been in many struggles, which I'm not won yet, and they have been going on for 30 years. However, I have also seen that more people are coming together. We had one victory in 1998 over this awful treaty that the transnational corporations wanted called the MAI, the Multilateral Agreement on Investment, which would have given all powers to transnational corporations and none to states. We beat that. We got rid of it. Since then, we've had a lot of good campaigns against the World Trade Organization, against the IMF and the World Bank. They are obliged to listen to what citizens say now. And it's just becoming natural for people to work together from different sectors.